This is Ellen Thurston.
And we're here with...
I'm Wayne Coe.
We're here with Wayne Coe, who's going to have an art show in Chatham this weekend. Welcome to WGXC, Wayne.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, why don't you tell us a little about your work, starting with these sand paintings?
Okay, about 2 or 3 years ago, I began doing performance art on the streets of New York. Large photorealistic sand paintings that look pretty much like movie posters for male porn ads populated with contemporary fine artists. And this odd, provocative activity, I think, was probably spurred on. I'd had the idea, but it was spurred on both by interest in drawings that covered that material and also a personal event in my life. My brother, heart stopped in Paris, and he was in intensive care for 3 weeks. And so I was flying over there not knowing whether he'd live or die, and he made it. But it turned out there was nothing wrong with his heart. And all of a sudden, you know, he and I are only a year and a half apart. Over a period of the next month, I kind of lost interest in producing anything. As I explained to a friend, what is this great painting project that I'm supposed to accomplish if I can be stopped without cause or reason? You know, what should I do? And sand painting was the answer. You know, you make this temporary, you know, I can call it divine and temporary. Sand is quintessentially about time, and it's a divine and temporary occupation. And it's just incredible how working on the street in New York, it taps into the layers and layers of communities, both visible and not visible anymore, that existed in New York, you know, over the last 40 years.
Now, I should point out for people who are not looking at these that these are black and white, sort of realistic black and white photographs executed in sand, one might say.
With copy.
With
images.
With also,
they look like the old Village Voice ads.
Right, right. They look like a kind of an inky newspaper to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And do you use only black and white sand?
Yeah, I use black sand. The concrete plays the white, and they take 6 to 8 hours to execute, and it's somewhat an endurance test. As I say, the response, you know, I didn't know whether there would be any response. My initial intent was to do them at places that had to do with art marketing, since the genesis of the idea was how, when I saw these ads, I saw a zine with a collection of these old male porn ads, and I had this very strange intuition that they reminded me of Art Forum and Art in America and Freeze Magazine. I said, well, this is nutty. You know, why is that? And so instead of delving too much into the why, I just said, well, what would that look like? So I began reconfiguring the ads with the stars, but putting in Jeff Koons and Ugo Rodinoni and an artist who I liked, Jonathan Borofsky, Damien Hirst, and began kind of mixing it up. And they were instantly, I mean, the drawings sold. So besides being amusing, that was, you know, that was one manifestation of it. And then I was going to have a show of these drawings, and I was thinking of how to tie them together, and I thought of a sand painting. But as soon as I did one, a prototype in my barn, I said, I got to take this out to the public. And so I dressed formally in a suit and tie, and get down on my knees with knee pads and a rubber cushion so I'm not too uncomfortable, and I drive forward. But it's not a solitary activity at all. It's utterly social throughout.
I'm sure people gather around.
Plus, I love talking, and people will then start telling me stories about their lives.
Now, some of these you throw away, as it were, and some of them you have managed to find a way to keep, right? To preserve.
Well, after 2 years of doing this, you know, temporary art, which does go away. The same audience that goes, "That's amazing, you're the man." When I'm not on the ground working on it, it becomes invisible. You don't do beautiful artwork on the cement. So then people walk across it, and it gradually gets worn away over 24 hours.
Do you document each of the drawings?
Yes.
So they're not totally transitory in that regard.
Well, you know, that's a great question. The documentation's not transitory, but it's difficult. Like, you know, I don't know why people, strangers, will come up and spend a half an hour or an hour or 2 hours standing there talking with me out of their lives. You know, what is, for me, the activity is, I mean, it's almost mathematical, you know, doing this layout and moving along in a business-like manner. And but there's something about sand painting and its non-European tradition. I mean, no one in America does it. It's utterly un-American. There's no product. There's no hope for commercial. The product is destroyed. The product is, you know, ephemeral.
Now, you have a pretty good, a pretty definite design and plan before you start?
Pretty's the right word. I have an idea, but obviously a lot of things, when you're doing it, it's by hand. So I have a few tools. I have a coffee cup, I have some paint brushes, my fingers, and an angle iron, the aluminum thing, kind of a L-shaped rod. And that way I can fill it with sand and tip it and make a straight line. But that's the entire lexicon of my tools. That's it.
The coffee cup, I should point out, is a takeout coffee cup. Like, it is our pleasure to serve you on the side with the little hole for sipping. The little sippy hole is where you pour the sand out more evenly from there. Is that right?
Yeah. It's obviously autobiographical.
Now, in Chatham, are you going to show some sand paintings?
I'm not showing sand painting work at this exhibit. This exhibit covers work from roughly 2003 to 2008. I've been involved in media all my life. I'm a Hollywood rock star. I did movie posters in the early 80s, Out of Africa, Back to the Future, Dune, Brazil, and then TV guide stuff in the late 80s. I wrote and directed a feature film, Grim Prairie Tales, with James Earl Jones and Brad Dourif. And then I've been doing title storyboards for the last 20 years, most notably for Kyle Cooper, who did the titles to Seven, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, and recently the amazing 3D credits for Final Destination 5, which is, it's worth the 3D ticket just to see the credits. I've never seen anything like them. And Thompson Giroux Gallery is a new, relatively new gallery to Chatham. It started in Stockbridge. Mm-hmm. Bill Thompson's the director. MC Marie Claude's also director, and Licha Jimenez is the director.
And so tell us again the kind of work you're going to show there.
I'm going to be showing figurative work. It's an odd combination. It's realistic. It usually deals with war, and in this case, 9/11. Also, it deals with the Mona Clinton affair. I have an interest in seeing things the media, to me, doesn't cover. To me, media is the biggest problem of our time. And if people were going to invest in anything, and I cannot see it happening in my lifetime, but they should invest in media education for kids so they know what on earth they're being submerged in their entire lives, because it's completely misunderstood. I mean, it used to upset me that the difference between news, that there was so little difference between news and entertainment, but gradually I realized, well, there is no difference. They're exactly the same thing. And every reporter I've ever talked to goes, oh, yeah, it's true. You throw together words, you pick the right words, you pick a slant on it, and it's completely a fabrication. It's not news, really. And photographers will tell you the same thing. If an event happens and a photographer takes a picture of it, let's imagine two points, the event and the photographer. Around that event is a 360-degree world of information. And that photographer captures this tiny sliver between themselves and that event. And then they call that journalism or news. And to me, there's nothing wrong with it. But for me, it was kind of saying, well, news is like fine art. You've got this canvas and these materials, and you're dealing with plastic forms, and you can compose it as you need. And so then my paintings, in a way, try to do that through a painting. Like, if I can see a plane plowing through a building from the inside, and no one else has seen that, but we've all imagined it, is that painting news? You know, is that less news somehow than, is that, you know, it's media, right? And then the same thing with the Iraq war and war-related issues. And it's just trying to figure out a point of view where I can articulate something that I think is true through painting it and showing things in a way that I don't feel media communicates.
Now, one of your most successful pieces is, in fact, a plane plowing into an office building.
I did a lenticular for a show called American Hero for an LA gallery, and it was a lenticular 15 inches by 38 inches, which showed a happy office space.
Now, first explain what lenticular means.
Lenticular is a lens process. It's like Cracker Jacks. There's little things. They're called winkies in the old days, where it changes from one image to another. So in this case, this is a two-image lenticular, 15 by 40 inches, which shows an office space, you know, the graph on the wall going up, people telling jokes, drinking coffee, and then you move, and it shows an American Airlines plane plowing through and everything going to hell and complete mayhem. And then when you move a little more, it goes back to the happy office space, and the coffee's still warm, and the Xerox machines are there, and everything's normal. So it offers you two distinct experiences that are worlds apart. You know, instead of the, you know, logical response of people being horrified, the response has been incredibly positive, usually almost like hilarity, I sold the first 10 I did in 2 months, and then I tried to figure out, well, is there a way to change the edition, expand it? And so I had copy on it. I removed the copy. I repainted one of the images, and I did an edition of 95, and I've sold about 60 of those. So just astonishingly popular piece. You know, we could debate why. My complete subtext that no one else would know is it's about childbirth, since I have three kids. Hi, Wyatt. Hi, Juliet. Hi, Laura. And I was at each of their births, and, you know, in the lingo of 60s California, it was an e-ticket ride. I mean, it was, there's nothing like it. It's blood and murder and mayhem, everyone's going to die. And then all of a sudden, everything's fine. There's a little pink baby, and everything's calm, and no one's hurt. You know, because they were all unmedicated births, and after the birth, you know, they nurse, and everyone goes home, and, you know, it's inexplicable how, yeah, it's a creative process, but it has this like dimension of horror and terror, and but it ends like that. And I, for me, when I look at the lenticular, I get something of that bizarre euphoria between chaos and mayhem and certain death, and everything's fine and calm and relaxed.
Well, you've also done shows where you seem to combine a lot of things. I mean, it seems like you're trying to fill in the whole 360 degrees, maybe. Is that true?
I like to play with forms. I think just doing a painting on a canvas, a painting on a board is great for some things. But just like Lichtenstein pulled Bende dots into paintings, I work in the film world, storyboard structures, standee, dimensionality, lenticular flipping, these advertising forms, some of which are somewhat secret to the public, but to me are an everyday reality of trying to communicate ideas. They seem to be viable forms to apply painting to. So, you know, within that show, there were 5-foot standees made of MDO, which is a paper impregnated wood, that were complete beautiful oil paintings, but they looked like cheap cardboard standees, but they were, you know, quite lovely hand-done oil paintings. And also storyboards, which were oil on canvas, but presented like storyboards with copy of Brittany and Denzel jumping from the towers, or Keanu Reeves flying the plane into the Pentagon, you know, the inscrutable Keanu Reeves.
What? How did you end up in Chatham or in Columbia County?
That was a national defense choice to send me to Chatham, New York, and isolate me from the heart of media creation in America. You know, it's somewhat involuntary. No, my wife is a marvelous writer, Robin Perry, and I'm a painter, but also doing stuff in the entertainment industry, and I had some friends who were painting. I started painting around 2002, who encouraged me to try New York as a more of a painting center than Los Angeles. That's definitely true. You know, it was a good move in that line. But I have 3 children. I'm a family man, and raising children in Brooklyn was very difficult. They had been in a Waldorf school in California, and the prices, the distances made it very difficult. So we ended up moving up here where we could find affordable housing and similar educational opportunities. And now all my kids are in the Chatham Public School, and we're very happy. It's a great school system.
All right, say again the gallery in Chatham.
Thompson Giroux Gallery, 57 Main Street. The show opens Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. Should I mention some of the other artists?
Oh, please do, yes.
All right. Some of these artists, I'm more familiar with their work than others. Donna Moylan, Asya Reznikov, Arthur Sordillo, and James Travers are all in the show with me. I saw Arthur Sordillo's work at the show before last at Thompson Giroux. They're delightful to me, but I was kind of introduced to him as a West Coast artist. And he works in paper and sequins on a pretty large scale. Graphic, decorative, but there are figurative elements. There's copy elements. There are things that remind me of my work and his. I really like his work. It's very different. My work is incredibly conservative looking relative to his, you know.
And the gallery itself, I think this is their 4th show.
That sounds
something
right.
Like that. And it's a large space. It was formerly a gift shop. Do you know
It was a gift shop called Handcrafters, which was there for many years, and then it was purchased by someone, and unfortunately went into decline. And after a year or two, they shuttered, and it's been unoccupied, I think, for less than a year. Mm-hmm. And then they opened this gallery, which is, it's such a gorgeous asset to Chatham.
It's a large gallery. Space. It's an unusually large storefront. So.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a Soho gallery. It's not uniform white walls, but working within the old space and the hardwood floors, it's a true white box. It's impressive.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell people about the show?
I think that Bill and Licha and MC at the gallery have done a really amazing job of finding world-class artists, you know, within the area to show at the gallery. The gallery shows aren't craftsy, they aren't folksy. They're really artists exploring, you know, the boundaries of the the areas they're working within. So it's a great venue.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Richard.